hello there. Welcome to the On to the Next podcast. If you are watching us on YouTube, you will already see a few things look different. First of all, I am doing my first Zoom international podcast recording, which is super exciting. And you'll also see that I have a guest with me today. So let's give a warm welcome to Miss Emily Jane Saroff. Hi, Emily Jane. Thanks for being
Hi.
here.
Thank you so much for having me. So exciting. I'm your first international one.
You are. And that's what I wanted to just shout out, that Miss Emily Jane is from Australia and she's here. We connected. It's 5 p.m. on a Monday for me and it's 9 a.m. on a Tuesday for her, but we made it work. So thank you for being up early for the podcast.
No worries. Thanks for staying up late for me.
Yeah, absolutely. This is super exciting. And I just want to get into it just to start off with, who are you? I obviously we know you're a girly from Australia, but like, what's your story and who are you?
Yeah, so my name's Emily Jane Saroff, but you guys can all call me Em. I'm otherwise known as Empower with Em, and I'm a business or I'm a branding strategist more specifically. My journey really started about 4 years ago now, just over, I'd say, when I was 22 years old. I was studying my Masters of Architecture. I was working the 9-to-5 job, and I just felt this pull within me of like the path that I was on was not the path meant for me, and I was being called towards something else. And at that time, I had started my own podcast, the Empower With Em podcast, which was really just like my own personal development diary, right? Like I was going through this self-growth journey myself, and I was just documenting every little step of the way. But I was finding myself really being pulled towards the podcast and to really explore what that could potentially evolve into in terms of like careers for myself. So I made the decision to drop out of my master's degree with only 6 months left to go, quit my 9-to-5 job, and go all in on just exploring what my podcast could bring me. And that led me into the coaching space. So within just 8 months of starting my business, I had made my very first six figures. And that for me was really the confirmation that that path that I'm now on is the path that was meant for me. But there's so many highs and lows from that journey. I'll just give that short intro and let you take it where you want to go from here.
Yeah, that's amazing. I have so many questions and thoughts, but I think the biggest thing that stuck out to me was the leap of faith that you took in trusting yourself and the process and the journey. But I think that's super powerful knowing that you were a young 22-year-old girly, like in that transitional period of like, what do I do? Like, I get that. Everyone's experienced that at any age. So knowing that you just took the leap of faith and bet on yourself is obviously very empowering, which makes sense with your name. And I love that M powering, but also like empowering with M, like super cute. Yeah, I have so many questions with this, but I do want to just first kick off with what era are you in? And then we'll get back to the question.
I'm very much in a growth era at the moment. I definitely came out of like last year was massive for me in terms of just like spiritual development, nervous system regulation. And I got to the end of 2024 and I was like, okay, I've been in this like era of going within, nurturing myself, like healing parts of myself. Stepping into 2025, it's now about growth. It's now about hustle. It's now about stretching myself further and really creating that rapid growth for myself again. So that's the phase that I'm in at the moment.
I love that. And all this again, like ties in together. So, can you talk a bit more about the leap of faith you took back when you were 22? Did you have like external things aside from obviously like money and like that pressure of like wanting to make money? But like, what other external things kind of maybe held you back, but you had to push towards still? Like, how did that process go? Like, who encouraged it? Did you have people encouraging it? What did that look like?
Yeah. Well, the biggest thing that I always speak into about that turning point for me was the internal experience I was having. I was, going through what I would ex or describe as emotional turmoil, which was just building within me. It was like my head was pulling me in one direction, which was the direction I was already following, you know, the corporate path, getting the degree, climbing the corporate ladder, but my heart was pulling me elsewhere. And so that was the biggest thing driving that shift for me, was what was going on emotionally within my body at that time. And I found myself really deteriorating from an emotional and, like, you know, mental stability standpoint, which was really what was like pushing me to actually explore and get creative about, okay, well, if this is making me feel this way, then what else is there? What could I explore outside of this? And there was one person external to myself at the time that was really influential in me taking that leap. And this was the first coach I ever came across. Now, I didn't work with this coach, but I just had one simple conversation with them. And I remember them sitting down and asking me one very specific question. And, you know, that was connected to the decision of, well, if do I finish the next 6 months of my degree, or do I step away and do I figure out something else? And they said to me, if you are to continue on this path for the next 6 months and continue to work towards finishing your master's degree, who are you doing that for? And my answer was everyone but myself. I was doing it for my mom. I was doing it for my dad. I was doing it for my boss. I was doing it for my peers. Like, I was doing it for everyone outside of me. And when I was asked that question, that was the very first time where I realized exactly that. And that for me was all of the external permission that I needed to then go after what I wanted to go after and to actually explore changing direction and following where my passion was really pulling me at that time. And even though I had that clarity, there was still a lot of fear that came up. There was still a lot of uncertainty that I experienced. But because I had built a lot of self-trust with myself over the years leading up to that, that really gave me, I guess, the foundation to be able to back myself. Right. And I think that's the biggest thing that anyone struggles with when it comes to making some sort of a big decision or making some sort of a pivot in their life is needing to fully trust yourself. And there's been many experiences in my journey since then where that same self-trust has been tested. And I've really had to learn how to stand deeper into that. But that was really the key thing that allowed me to go all in and take those big risks, was the fact that I chose to trust myself and I chose to back myself as I did those things.
Yeah, and I love that. And I think that's a good point. A lot of people want the external validation of, like, you got this and all the cheerleaders, but not everyone has the privilege of having that. So you saying, like, within yourself, like, you knew you would be able to figure it out still shows a lot. And that question is so reflective for any person in any career, which I really love, like that question of, like, who are you doing this for? That's, like, super obviously impactful, knowing that. Especially as women, we do a lot of things for other people or for, you know, the people pleasing, you know, thing that women were given, the women were told to do things for everyone else but themselves. So doing that, reflecting on that question, kind of like, and from a third person's POV of, like, that coach being like, well, who is this for? Like, that's all you needed to hear to be able to realize, like, the next level for you was your path for yourself and not for others, which I think is obviously, like, amazing. And congrats on, you know, making your six figures within 8 months. That's, like, amazing, especially as a young 22, 23-year-old. So that's obviously, like, super inspiring as well for people. And when you made the jump, did you have a backup plan? Because I think a lot of successful people who really end up, you know, crushing all these mountains and, like, on the top of them, I think they kind of say, like, they have no backup plan. It's like this or nothing. And I think sometimes that scares people, especially people who have other, like, things they have to worry about, or external parts of life, or kids, or whatever that looks like. So I think that question came up in my head when I was like, oh, I wonder if she, like, just knew, like, this is the only choice for me, because that almost makes have to make it happen, you know?
Yeah, it's a great question, that one. And when I think about my answer, it's interesting because I had a backup plan for my parents, but not for
Okay,
me,
got you. That makes
right?
sense.
So it was like a fake backup plan, essentially, where I knew the entire time that I wasn't going back to anything else. I knew that I was definitely not going back to my degree, definitely not going back to my job. And I knew that I was making this thing 100% work. But then for peace of mind for my parents, who at the time were like very, you know, wanting to support me and wanting to encourage me, but again, were filled with fear themselves, I told them that the quote unquote backup plan is, well, my degree is still there for another 12 months before I'm, booted from it officially. So if things don't work, don't worry, fam, we can go back and we can finish it. So that was there to really give them the peace of mind, but I had zero intentions myself of going back to that degree. So it was like a false facade of a backup plan so that my parents would be at ease and would be off my back to give me the space to go after what I wanted to go after. But yeah, for me personally, it was like there was no going backwards. I knew I didn't want to be in that degree. I knew I didn't want to be doing that. And I was determined to just make my business work.
Yeah, and that's important. Like, I get that. You need to have a backup plan because a lot of people don't understand. Like, they don't, anyone, whether it's family or friends or just people in general, like, if they don't understand because they're in their own ways or maybe their own rut, or they don't want to understand, or it's too big of a lifestyle or like of a thing. Oh, that will never happen to you. Do you know what I mean? Like, so I think that's obviously important. I've been there myself, kind of saying like, I'll do this instead if it doesn't work out in a year or in 6 months or whatever. But like because of that, it's almost like a deadline you're giving yourself. Like regardless, this has to work out because I'm not doing this backup plan. So I think that makes a lot of sense, and I appreciate that honesty. And I'm glad it worked out for you, seriously.
Yeah, no, honestly, like that was one of the biggest drivers for me to reach the six figures so quickly was that I did not want to go back, and I had to prove to myself, and I had to prove to, or I felt like I had to prove to everyone around me that the path that I had chosen was going to work out. Which, in itself had some benefits of obviously getting the growth so rapidly, but it also had a lot of cons that came with that kind of mentality because I was really in this state of mind where I was like, I'm willing to sacrifice anything in order to prove that this is going to work.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I'm kind of, I feel like I'm in this, and I'm where you are at, where you were at 22, 23 is like kind of where I feel like I am now. I quit my 9 to 5 in August and I said I'm never going back there. And
Congrats.
thank you. And I thankfully have a very like supportive like mother who's also an entrepreneur, and then like sister and aunt and like really close-knit like girls in my family that are super understanding and like supportive for it. But I also know like I'm also the oldest daughter, so I have to have kind of had that responsibility myself of like having to make it work. And I think what you were saying like all resonates with me, and I think that makes a lot of sense in trusting in yourself, like what you kept kind of bringing back to. I think in terms of the sacrificing part, that's kind of where I'm at now. It's like what or whose time, or like where do I have to like give a little less love to right now just so I can figure out my stuff, and then not less love in a negative way, but like where can I do less of, like do less of TV watching and do more of editing or whatever like the thing is. Did you have people in your life who didn't understand that, or who you had to kind of, I think in this phase I've also lost some friends that didn't really get the lifestyle. It felt like I was getting ahead of them and they were jealous. Like, did you have any of that?
Yeah, it's interesting. I had quite a lot of support around me, which was great. But in that process of me making those sacrifices, I was probably the one who felt the most of those sacrifices alongside my friends did feel that as well. So I didn't really lose any of my closest friends during that part of the journey, but I did realized that I had become quite distant from them and disconnected and wasn't really aware of what was going on in their lives and what was happening in their worlds, which of course like is damaging to relationships. But because we had such a deep level of understanding for each other and also our, relationships were so strong that we were able to come back from that, when we did finally reconnect. It was actually after making my first six figures that we all sat down, we had a picnic to celebrate. And that was where I realized just how long it had been since I had nurtured those relationships. But of course, there was just a lot of love and understanding because they did see that I was going after something I was passionate about and that was important to me. And so I think it does also go to tell that like the quality of the relationships you have, you're either going to lose people in the process because they don't understand the sacrifices you're making, or you might drift a little bit, but you will always come back to those relationships that truly do understand you and truly do respect the choices that you are making for yourself as well. So I wouldn't say I really lost relationships in that process, but I did lose myself in the process of reaching my first six figures. Now, the reason for that was because I was hustling with zero boundaries. Like I was working from sunrise until sunrise on my business, Mondays to Sundays. Like I was working myself into the ground. I began to neglect the things that I valued. So, quality times with friends. I really neglected my health. I stopped going to the gym. I stopped really like looking after my body. And then that led to this little landslide of issues that began to come up, and really moving me in the direction of heavy burnout. I actually went to the hospital one night thinking I was having a heart attack, but it was actually stress-induced muscular cramps around my chest area because of how neglected, my health and wellness had become. Because I stopped going to the gym, I didn't have a healthy outlet for the stress that I was experiencing through business. And as a 22, 22 to 23-year-old, like to not be managing that stress, it's gonna take a huge toll on your body. And so that was, one of the costs that I experienced because of sacrifices I made in that journey to making six figures. And it's a lesson that I'm grateful for having because it taught me early how I don't want to run my business rather than, going on to make my first seven figures and then having to restart the entire building process again because, you didn't get there in the way you wanted to ultimately get there. So I don't know if that answers your question, but that kind of speaks into that there.
Yeah, and honestly, I think losing like oneself is more detrimental long term. Like you said, the people closest to you, I agree. Like they should, the ones who are real, like get it. Like they support you. They maybe not won't understand what you're doing every day, but they get it's for something bigger than yourself. So that's obviously very important. But losing yourself is obviously scarier in the sense of like when it does affect your like mental or physical health or your spiritual well-being or whatever that looks like for you. So that makes a lot of sense. And I, yeah, that's crazy. I cannot believe the stress you said that you were physically holding on your body. But I agree. Luckily, it seems like you were able to bounce back from it. And luckily you were young enough to have your body heal from that. And that's a great life lesson. I'm sure you'll never not forget, right?
It's interesting when you say that I like, obviously I've been able to heal from it, but it's funny because it's only like 4 years later, I feel like I've actually healed from the process because once I reached that point, like having lost myself in my business, that put me in a low vibrational state, right? Like if we're talking about energetics, I was in a low vibe state and I was then susceptible to attracting things that were also playing at that same frequency. So when I had hit that burnout point after making that first six figures, that really should have been where the burnout recovery journey began. But because I was in such a low vibe state, I then attracted in a relationship that was very low vibrational. And that actually was a domestic violence relationship that I was then in for about a year and a half to follow. And so when I should have been recovering from burnout, the burnout was actually deepening more and more and more. And when I should have been finding myself and coming back home to myself again, I was actually becoming even more disassociated from myself. So it was like I then worsened that state that I was in across a span of almost 2 years, because of that relationship. And it was only after coming out of that in it was in the end of 2023, like December 2023, I finally like was fully out of that relationship. So really like the last year when we talk 2024 that's just passed, like that for me was the year of coming back to myself, doing that deep healing, the spiritual work, reconnecting with my power, looking after and nurturing my energy, to now get to this point where in 2025, I finally have the capacity to push in business again.
Yeah, wow. And that was my, well, first of all, thank you for sharing. And I'm sorry you had to experience that at such a young age, especially when you're still figuring out like what relationships are, to have to experience something so it seems like violent and, obviously an abusive, like that's obviously like heartbreaking. So I'm sorry you had to deal
That
with.
age in particular, I actually found out is where women are most susceptible to those kinds of relationships. So majority of women who are in DV relationships experience it within that, 23 to, late 20s kind of window. And I think it is very much because we're still finding our power. We're still, like figuring that out. And until we fully have, like we become very vulnerable to those kinds of men.
No, that makes so much sense. I agree. I mean, I've experienced definitely in terms of emotional and mental and spiritual like type like spirits like my spirit wasn't myself because I was with people who were obviously very daunting and who didn't help brighten you, they dimmed you. In terms of your experience, how did that also like were you still successful business wise, but at home it wasn't good, or how did that work for you?
Yeah, so those that year and a half to 2 years I was in that relationship, I was still maintaining six figures in my business, but it did not feel easy to hold. It felt like I was in a constant state of survival within myself, within my home life, and then that made me feel like I was in a constant state of survival within business as well. So it didn't feel easy. It didn't feel flowy. I wasn't connected to my purpose, my mission. I wasn't feeling deeply fulfilled. And for so long, I actually blamed my business. And I said, well, the business must be the problem. Like if I'm feeling this way, it must be because of this thing. But what I didn't realize at that point in time, that my business was never the problem. My business had always been something and still is something that is so connected to me and my mission. The problem was the relationship that I was in. And because that relationship was draining me so much, and keeping me in that state of survival, I wasn't able to connect to my vision, my mission, my purpose. I wasn't able to feel that fulfillment from my business because I was drowning in my personal world.
Totally. And that is such a common thing, especially I've in my own circles of, powerful women, like finding a partner who understands the business, whatever business it is, or whatever career route you take, it can be difficult. And then if you're up and coming and you're also a face, you're on social media, you are your brand, your face, your look, that can be very discouraging to insecure weak men, in my opinion. And they're the ones who are feeding these negative things into you, and then it gets confusing. And I think that's so common, like you said. I mean, all my even for older women, but I think especially within my community of girls, I have a lot of people who, even I had a friend who was in her mid-30s and she's like, yeah, I used to act. I was an actress, and then I started dating a boy, and I stopped acting for 8 years. And he like stopped me. I couldn't go to classes. He didn't like me on the screen. I couldn't do scenes with boys. Like it just that's like a very like basic example for what just to prove the point. But I think that's very a very unfortunately common theme that I hear with women, especially women in some who are in some sort of power position, like you are.
Massively. And it was interesting because I would notice that as well. The guy that I was in that relationship, he was almost 10 years older than me. So, I'm like 23 and he's like 33. So there was like a big age gap there. And it was very interesting, like even to reflect back on it. I feel like I would notice in the moment, like at times where it would be like, I can tell you're triggered by me, my success, by my grounding in myself right now. But then I didn't fully register, the extent to that in the moment. But it would be things as simple, even as, like if I'm sharing a goal for what I want to achieve, he felt like he then had to unrealistically, overthrow my goal. Like if I was to say, oh, I want to do $1 million in my business by this age. And then he'd be like, yeah, well, I want to do billions of dollars in doing this, 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 and this. Like just, really throwing out things that weren't even realistic to anything he was working towards or any plans he had even put in motion. And it really felt like it was just coming from that place of insecurity to squash down what I was really like putting out there myself. So for sure, like you do see that a lot. And it's so important that in relationships, you're making sure that you're self-aware of your own insecurities. Like, on one hand, it's easy to say, like, oh, he's insecure, he's projecting this and that, but also being very aware of yourself and checking in where your own insecurities come up and making sure that you're doing your due diligence by not then projecting that into the relationships that you're in as well.
Yeah, I think one thing I learned, because I recently got out of what I would consider a very more I'm definitely more emotional abuse type of manipulation, isolation, that type of experience. And I about it would thankfully only lasted about 5 to 6 months, the whole process. But I about maybe for the last like about 4 months in, I started getting these gut feelings of like, this doesn't feel right. This, why am I, like now I'm questioning my own actions that I would do on my own and never had a problem with, and now there's an issue with them. And I was also kind of, I felt myself putting more of my time into him and trying to make sure he felt good about himself rather than like me making a post on Instagram or me going to an event, a networking event, because that was triggering. I'm gonna be flirty, even though I'm just smiling and that's flirty. You know what I mean? Those little things. I'm also, I'm in the industry more so as an actress and, model, content creator, stuff like that. So that was intimidating. And at first, when they met me, they were like, "Oh my God, I love a strong woman," like hyping it up. And then a few months later, once it got too much or too strong or too intimidating to him, he was then, making me like, "Well, why do you do that?" Or like, "Oh, when you go to this event, this guy looked at you the wrong way," or like stuff like that. And I think the one thing, biggest lesson I learned was like trusting your gut. Like my gut knew once before it was over that this is not a way to live. This is not a healthy partner. But I was in the land of like, oh, like the holidays are coming up and like we have, friend events and like whatever little things in between. For you, given I thankfully, didn't live with the person. I don't know if did you physically live with your partner?
Yeah, we moved in really quickly with each
Okay.
other. Like, it was within the first 6 months of dating. Like, we were already moving in, and it was interesting. It was that very first month that we lived together where the very first signs started happening, and I could feel in my gut as well. I'm like, I don't think that's how it's meant to be. But I didn't, like, because I was, and I really do believe that, like, because I was in that state of already feeling weak and weakened within myself and disconnected from my personal power because of that burnout I experienced, that I then lacked the trust to listen to what was intuitively coming up for me.
Totally. And that makes so much sense. So much sense, especially given knowing he was, that age gap also makes a difference because there is a power dynamic. And if you're more successful than him, like, or if you guys are on the same level, he's probably like, how is this 20 something year old doing more than me? Or like, whatever that looks like for you. So I could see how that imbalance is hard. And it's hard to get out of, especially if you're physically like coexisting, cohabitating together.
I think that really comes back, like, for me, I think of the sunk cost fallacy. And it's like, when you've invested so much time, money, or energy into something, whether it's a degree, a relationship, like, I experienced that during my degree as well, was like, oh, I've invested so much time, money, and energy into this, like, I can't step away. Same with that relationship. Like, okay, I've invested so much time, money, and energy. We're living in a house together. We've bought some furniture together. We've got a dog together. And it's like there were all of these ties that were like keeping me stuck there and making it harder for me to really step away as well. So I think that's something really interesting to just be aware of, is what are you allowing to be tie downs as to why you're staying where you are right now, rather than moving yourself forward towards somewhere else that you want to be.
Yeah, and I think I also, not to that extreme, because I wasn't living with my ex-partner, but I also experienced that pressure of like, well, we made this plan and we have this connection, and well, I told him this about me, or he told me this about him, and like I also have that. And the one thing I learned, I remember like waking up one day and I was just like, felt like I was trapped, and I was like, you were 24 years old, like you are not trapped, like you're fine. I had to almost like gaslight myself out of the situation, and like in the way, no, in the way I needed to be told. I was like, you have no kids with this person, you have no true like daunting tie downs, like there is nothing keeping you here, if in terms aside from like the social and like the external whisper, what people are going to say and how he might paint me out as actually the bad one or whatever that looks like. Like, if I can live with knowing that whatever story he says is what he's going to say, and I'm not going to be able to make a difference whether or not I give my, but they're not going to listen to me because it's not my people. So like, if that's the story they're going to live by, I had to get over that of like anxiety almost of like, what is, how is he going to paint me? Because I knew in my soul, like, I'm going to be okay. I know my truth. I know my experiences. This could be, whatever he's doing could be great for someone else, but it's not great for me. And I once I got over that fear almost of like what you were saying, the like the fallacies you tell yourself of like, you have to stay because of this. Like, no, you don't actually. Like, you, I got to the point where I was like, I had stuff, you know, at his place. I had stuff that was his, and I was literally to the point where I was like, I don't even care if I get nothing back. Like, I just need to leave, like, for me. And getting to that, I think, was so important and so impactful. And again, not everyone has the privilege to just walk away. You know, I didn't just walk away. We had conversations, and like, it ended, I guess, better than you could have expected. But I definitely think, like, once I was able to let go and just like trust my body, my gut, what my mind and heart was telling me wasn't right, I walked away and I felt free. And I think that was a privilege and an honor to experience at such a young age, because I know now it what it should and shouldn't feel like. And I was telling myself more stories in my head than what might have actually been the case, because I was like, no, well, you said this and you have to do this for him, and you made this promise, you made this plan. So I can see how that is such a common thing, like you said, for women, especially our age, and we're still figuring out our own truths and our own missions and goals.
Massively.
That yeah, and with you, if you don't mind just touching on this a little bit more, how did you end up getting out of it?
Yeah, so for me, the actual leaving of the relationship, it took much longer than I probably should have allowed it to, because of that fact that like we were living together and it just felt like it felt very scary, to just fully step away. And when there's that, emotional and psychological manipulation that goes on, and you're like, but I'm the problem. So why should I be stepping away if I'm the problem? Like, I need to stay. I need to fix this. I need to fix the issues I've created, right? This was the story that was playing out in my head, which created guilt around the potential of actually leaving. But what really drew me out was creating ties outside of my relationship that began to show me what life could look like, what life could feel like. And that came to me in the form of a friendship circle. So I would go to the dog park and take our dog there to just go run around and, get out of the house since I worked from home and he didn't. And when I started going to the dog park, I saw this big white Swiss Shepherd like running the top across the top of the hill. And I recognized that dog because I knew that one of my friends from high school like had that exact dog. And so I went up to the hill and I'm like, oh my gosh, I wonder if this is my friend. Let's like go up, let's reconnect. Turns out it was my friend. And so he brought me into that circle of friends he has at the park. And that became like something exciting I'd look forward to. I'd leave the house, I'd go socialize with them every day. I'd feel like this, excitement, this happiness, this, joy again in life. And then I'd go home and it would be gone, and all of a sudden, my partner at that time, the abusive one, started to be like, I don't want you to hang out with these friends. I don't want you to go to the park. I don't want you to be around them. Like, it's either me or it's them. And so they had ultimately become this little light at the end of the tunnel for me. And now I was at this fork in the road where it's like, okay, I can either have those friendships and feel that way, or I can stay here, choose him, and keep moving deeper into the darkness. And so they actually became that little beacon of light for me that was like hope that on the other side of this, if I do leave this relationship, there is something for me to look forward to. And it's those friends. Like, I'm going to have something. I'm not going to be alone. I'm not going to, anything like that. And so that was the reason why I decided to leave, was because I had that friendship group to really lean into. Anyways, we fast forward now. Now I'm in a relationship with that friend who had the big white Swiss Shepherd. So that's our little happily ever after, is that, he was like my little guardian angel that was sent to me to help me move out of that relationship and like find a healthier one, I guess.
I was not expecting that plot twist. Oh my God, that is so cute. Well, that worked out on many ways. First of all, I was gonna say that little white dog was probably like literally like a sign of like hope, you know, like an angel just like, please come follow me, come find me, I'll show you the way. Wow. Well, for oh my God, there's so many thoughts with that alone. But I just to quickly rehatch first recap, first the friendship thing you're saying is that it could not be more true, whether it's one friend, whether it's, you know, starting a new, you know, going to an art class or just getting yourself out of that space where you could feel like yourself again, even if it's for 20 minutes a day. That sometimes is all people, or all women, all people, or all survivors have. You know what I mean? So like leaning into that is so powerful. And the fact that you, in that sense, you essentially took a leap of faith. You trusted yourself and what you felt like was right. And no one knows us better than ourselves. So being able to make that, you know, executive decision to fully walk away despite, and I can only imagine, you know, what was being told to you, the lies that were being told to you, and what, you know, tricks were trying to be said to keep you. Like, I can only imagine because I've been, you know, I've been there
You've
too. But
been there.
yeah, and it just so it really resonates with me. So thank you for sharing that. I'm happy that you have that happy ending as well as, you know, now, you know, the full circle moment was really cute. I was literally not expecting that. So now, you know, being with a you know what you just said, like a healthier partner and healthy relationship. I'm sure you feel it makes sense to want to grow now that you are, you know, past the speed bumps of part of the human. Because I know we're always healing as humans, but definitely having someone who kind of understands and almost kind of help take you out of that, you know, dark place is so important. And I'm sure having a partner who met you during that time or who you've known since high school, that those things are hard to come across. So finding connection again is super important. With you know with you now, I'm how is that going, balancing, you know, your career, you know, friends, family, relationship? What do you think you've learned from all that so far?
I'd say right now, like where I'm at in life, I've probably got the best balance that I've ever had when it comes to like relationships and business and like working on my health and discipline around my health is still something I'm trying to fully get a grasp on, because I find, when I lean very deeply into business, it's very easy to let that health piece fall off. But I think the great thing is I'm so much more aware now than I was in the past because of those experiences I went through. I'm very aware of like what signs to look out for and when I need to make adjustments. So when I recognize that I haven't been to the gym in 2 weeks, I'm so much more strict on myself about getting movement in whatever capacity I can. So I'd say that's probably like one of the biggest gifts that came out of those experiences I had was the gift of awareness, awareness of like what I need in relationships, awareness around like how I need to create balance between my business and the other things that I value in life as well. So we're not perfect still, but we're probably in the best place that I've ever been at when it comes to creating that balance between the business relationships, and other personal goals that I just want to work towards for myself.
Yeah, no, I love that, the gift of awareness. That's a really good, I think once you become self-aware, you know, in as an adult or a young adult, it's hard to break that self-awareness. Like, it's hard to be like, it's hard to change that because I know how hard and how long it takes to get to that point. So that's really important. And I'm happy that you seem to be like in a much better place. And like you said, one of the best places you've been in, you know, so far. So very, very proud and excited for you with that and with your journey.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I love like your Instagram posts are so cute. Everyone, we'll plug your stuff at the end and everything. But I do appreciate your Instagram posts because it's like a little glimpse of like I feel like I know you a bit more because of that, obviously, but it's also a glimpse of you seem very disciplined, you know, of like your business and like how you have a structure and the I like how much you share. I know that you are a coach and that's what you do in terms of kind of, you know, helping with people's brand strategies and stuff like that. But I think it's sweet that you just, you know, openly share what you do and ways to kind of get yourself in a more structured way for your viewers because it shows that you're not just doing it for like the money, like you're also doing it for like the overall like awareness, like you said, in terms of being aware of like how you're structuring yourself. And I think so you obviously like you seems like your audience is obviously women mostly. Your target audience seems to be women, and I think that's also important given, you know, your journey as well and how open you are to share your journey, which I've seen even on your Instagrams throughout the months that we've been following each other.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in being open. Like, you know, if we're talking about personal branding strategy, the more of yourself you can share online, the stronger that personal brand is going to grow because it's exactly that, right? The connection that people feel to you is what really, establishes a brand. And I've always been very open, very transparent. I truly believe that the experiences I go through, you know, it's a disservice to the world if I'm not sharing them as ways for you to learn, you to grow, and you to navigate your human experience as well. So I'm, yeah, a big believer in being open and sharing as much of my journey as I can, to really help others who maybe see me as a little beacon of light that's a couple steps ahead of maybe where they're at in their journey as well.
Yeah, and I think one thing I learned also is that like whatever we feel or experience, we are not the only humans on this world who ever felt that. So like you said, I'm in Chicago, you're out in Australia, like I'm still resonating with you. So like definitely like always having, I agree. I always like to I mean this podcast alone is me trying to just make people know that they're not alone in what they're experiencing, and that little, you know, sign of hope, even if it's for 10 minutes a day, like that is again that can change someone's outlook and on life in general. So
Massively.
I think that's very important. I totally agree with you. With the new year coming up, obviously we're here, we're, you know, 2 weeks in, but what big plans do you have? Is there anything you want to share with, you know, the podcast that you
Yeah,
know?
I mean, we're only 2 weeks in, but it feels like so much more. Like, this
Yeah.
year has just been so massive for me already. And I only really technically started back working on like the 6th or the 7th of the month.
Yeah.
But for me, like, I've already run an event this year on a Saturday, the 11th. I had just run my first workshop for the year, which was like 6 hours of just being in person, doing personal branding with me. I set a goal for myself for January to sign 10 clients, and I signed 11 by the 11th of
Oh
January. So,
my God.
like, the year is really off to such a huge energy for me, and I really do believe that's because of like how I set myself up towards the end of last year and just everything that I did within my own personal growth across last year to create that space to call in this kind of capacity of expansion so soon. But next steps from here is launching a branding agency. Now that my event's over, I'm going to be doubling down to focus my energy towards building that out. I've got one client in that already and have some gears that are already turning and underway, but really building that out further and having that as an element of my business that I scale across this year and just explore and have fun with that. Try some things outside of just mentorship when it comes to business.
Yeah, and that actually makes a lot of sense. It's kind of all under the same umbrella. So that's really cool, and that's really exciting for you to already have such success, you know, 5, 6, 7 days until getting back to work. So congratulations on that. I did see, I was going to ask you, I saw your event. It looks super cute. I was going to ask you how that went, and that's a great idea to start off the year, the new year, with such powerful energy.
Well, you know, the date was the 11th of the 1st, and I'm like, okay, well,
Yeah.
that's cute enough as is, but I really wanted to, you know, just set the tone for myself for this year, and I knew that meant doing something big early on, to avoid like falling into this energy of kind of like dragging things out and moving slowly. Like, a big piece with growing is to be moving fast, to be taking bold action. A big part of my strategy for this year as well is to really build a magnetic personal brand where I've got people reaching out to me, coming to work with me, you know. And for those 11 clients I signed, I didn't do a single sales call for any of them. So
Yeah.
this is a matter of like, you know, that magnetism I decided to build early on when a lot of people are still adjusting from the holidays or maybe still on holidays. Instead, I wanted to double down and just, you know, get some speed and some movement happening for myself.
Yeah, it makes so much sense. And being, you know, being a young professional, especially a young woman professional in kind of entrepreneur in your own field, what is some advice you would give to other young dreamers or other young, future entrepreneurs who are kind of seeking this path? And that's for any route, any industry, but what is something you would give advice to someone who's trying to figure out their own path?
I would say trust that you are powerful. Really, really trust that you are powerful. Even if you haven't experienced the full depth of your power yet, maybe you haven't seen the full potential of what that looks like within you. Just choose to trust that you are powerful beyond your own understanding right now. And that when you lean into that personal power, that's when everything becomes possible for you. That's what I did early in my journey. That's what I've continued to do, across the last 4 years of my business journey. And that's especially what I've done as I've stepped into 2025, is to just really connect in and trust in that power that is within me and bring that forth for the world to see.
Yeah, thank you for that. I love that. I do. I know a lot of my, my listeners are in the creative worlds or are aspiring the non-traditional routes or the non-traditional 9-to-5. So I was really excited to connect with you further and have you on here because that is such an inspirational perspective. And we'll plug your Instagrams, like I said. But seriously, like your Instagram feed is very not only like aesthetically pleasing, but also you could tell it's very inspiring to just see that, once a day whenever you post or however many days a week you post, like seeing those things pop up is a good reminder of also, like, as a viewer, like holding myself accountable of like, hey, what did I do today that brings me to my next step, so my next goal. So that's super important. And I did want to just go quickly to what little Emily Jane was up to. Did you always have this spark in you? Were you always the communications route, how you are obviously a speaker, the confidence that you hold to be able to take this route? How was your upbringing in that sense? Did this make sense for you?
So I was lucky to grow up with a father who was in politics. So he would always do like a lot of public speaking, and he was a bit of a businessman himself. So I got to watch that from a young age. And so when I went through school also, when we were given opportunities such as public speaking or debating, like I would always put my foot forward to do those things. So yes, there was like a role model around me, but also I consciously made the decision from primary school that I was going to take part in those activities that were going to build confidence, within myself. And I didn't really know at the time that eventually I'd be, speaking as a part of my profession. But, those like 10 solid years in school where I'm doing public speaking, I'm doing debating, I'm giving speeches at assembly, like all of that, it was really setting a strong foundation for now what I do within the online space and how I communicate as a speaker, as a trainer, as a coach, as all of that. So there's been a lot of practice for me, and there's been a lot of intentional opportunities that I've taken on as I've been in those like, younger ages of myself that have helped strengthen that within me. But it's never too late to start. So if you didn't have those opportunities when you were younger, how can you start to create those opportunities for yourself now if that's an area of yourself, which I believe every person on the planet should really learn public speaking and really learn the art of communication, especially if you are in business. Because business is your ability to actually communicate the value of what it is that you have to offer to someone else who is going to be a prospective buyer. So if you're not confident when it comes to public speaking right now, get confident. Give yourself opportunities and position yourself in rooms where you're going to be able to build that skill set, because that's going to become an invaluable skill set for you as a business person.
Yeah, and especially in this, modern digital media world, if you have the resources to take a class, or if you feel like you're already too old, for the lack of better words, like, putting yourself on camera, posting a video, watching videos on YouTube or TikTok of, key top 3 tricks for public speaking or whatever. I totally agree. I grew up like, very much so like on a stage and as a theater kid and different types of speaking. I ended up majoring in like PR and communications during my undergrad. So I had it in me from a young age, but I always thought no matter who you are or where you are, one thing my university did that I really agreed with was they required every student to take a public speaking class before graduating. And obviously, like I was thriving, but like I had friends who were like, "Oh my God, get me out of here!" And I'm like, "You're gonna be a teacher. Like you need to know how to public speak, even if it's to 5-year-olds, you know?" So I totally agree with that route. And it's really cute that you had obviously that little spark in you since you were younger, and that you had that initiative. Do you have any siblings, or are you an only child?
Yeah, so there's four of us. I'm the
Okay.
second oldest. So it's older brother, then me, then sister, and then a little brother.
Oh, cute. Yeah. So also being one of the, the oldest girl, you had that, leadership energy, lady, boss girl, I guess, energy. Makes a lot of sense. Yeah, that's so cute. Well, just last question before we end today is what is something you would tell your 16-year-old self that you wish she knew?
Follow what lights you up, because like if you move in the direction of where your passions lie, whether that be as a career or if not as a career, like as something you just do in your downtime, you're always going to feel that sense of fulfillment. I'm really grateful that I was able to find at an early age what it is that I'm passionate about in a career and really lean into that. But it's so important to always, always, always make sure you follow what you're passionate about. And I think we're often taught to follow where money is rather than follow where your passions lie. And I believe that's why I stepped into the architecture space rather than exploring something more connected to what I was passionate about, was because I was told to follow the money. But if you actually follow your passion, money can be found there as well. And more money can maybe even be found, because of that fulfillment that comes with what you do there as well.
Totally, yeah, because it's genuine, so it's easy to sell a genuine passion for selling, whatever you were told to sell or whatever you have to sell to meet a quota. Like, yeah, 100%, that makes a lot of sense. And that's a very sweet message for any age, but I obviously like to bring it back to your inner child and what, she would might have wanted to hear. I'm sure she's proud of you and happy that you did follow that light despite, what life might have gave you at some points. I did want you to plug your socials and where we can find you and what you're up to, like you said, for the new year.
Yeah, well, I'm super easy to find. If you want to listen to my podcast, which literally dates back to when I was 22 years old, you can hear the journey from me being in it on the Empower With Em podcast. Or you can come follow me on Instagram at Empower With M. And I've got some free trainings I can send your way as well. So I'm sure we can plug one of them into the show notes. But if not, you can message me anyway, and ask for them, and I can pop them your way.
Yeah, thank you so much. I would love that. I can always add them in, like you said, later for the listeners. But thank you so much for being here. And I absolutely have loved getting to know you more. It definitely gives more fun insight, like, hearing you speak here, given, seeing you on social media. So that was always exciting.
Oh,
And
I'm glad.
And I'll plug all your stuff. Do you have any last minute things you want to say, or any last questions, or anything you want to just put out there before we stop recording?
The last thing I'd probably say is, give yourself permission to dream really, really big. And it's very easy to kind of take that permission away or to start to think smaller. So, coming off this podcast episode, I want you to take a moment to yourself to just think about what is that big vision that maybe doesn't make a lot of sense to you right now, and maybe you don't understand how you're going to get there. But what is that big vision? And can you give yourself permission to start to go after that today if that's what your heart is really calling you towards?
Yeah, I love that. Like, what scares you the most, and how can you make it a reality? Yeah, that's great. Thank you so much for that.
No worries.
Yeah, well, Emily Jane, Empowered with M, thank you so much for being here. And it's been absolutely an honor to chat with you more. And I'm so excited for all that 2025 will bring you. I'll be rooting you on from Chicago.
Yay. Well, when I'm in Chicago, we'll go for coffee together. When
Yes,
you're in Australia,
we'll have to. That would be so fun. Please let me know. Yeah. Alrighty. Well, thank you so much for being here. And for everyone listening, you know the drill. Like, follow, subscribe, post, share, reshare, tell your friends all about the On to the Next podcast. And thank you all for listening. And I will see you all next week. Bye. Thank you.